It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward!
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Episode of the Clippers. Cold though. Player take this league. Tonight, Sam and I will break down the final stop of the West Coast road trip, talk a little about the sore shoulder Tatum's nursing, and look down the road.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Oh, Hayward!
That's what I'm talking about.
Harper.
Hey, Sam, you there? I'm not hearing anything, folks. Hang on. This is bad. Well, for some reason, I can't even explain it. My open started playing again while I was talking. I apologize. I'm going to try to bring Sam in right now. I think I'm having technical difficulties. Sam, you on the line? Sam? I have no idea if I'm broadcasting, people. I'm trying. Sam Sheehan's going to be joining me. I can't hear him. I can't hear anything.
Straight up!
Right? I'm going to have to try something different here. Before I bring in Sam, need to pay the bills and tell you folks about tonight's sponsor for this episode of the Celtics Post Game Live Broadcast Podcast, and that's Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction to the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. They're located at 113 Salem Street in Boston. Whether you're just looking to get some touch-up or you're going to get a whole sleeve, maybe just get your lettuce chopped up top, get a sick hipster fade, Boston Barber and Tattoo has everything you need. Check them out. All right, here we go. As with every episode, we want to hear from you too. So call in and be a part of the action. It's toll-free to boot, so you have no excuses. Toll-free call-in line tonight, 347-215-7771. Again, that number, 347-215-7771. Remember to press 1 so you can connect and we know you want to get on. So without any further delay, you've heard him right here on CLNS Media Post Game Live, Mr. Sam Sheehan. Hey, Sam, how you doing? Sam, you on with me?
Another one.
Well, I'm not getting anything from Sam, so let's talk about the game tonight. Again, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. Sam's call just dropped. But anywho, let's talk about the game we watched tonight. We saw the Celtics come out, Clippers were just on fire tonight. They were shooting a ridiculous percentage from the floor. Celtics just had trouble matching it throughout the game. Every time the Celtics got on a run, either Lou Williams or, Gallinari early on was just the answer to everything they were trying to do. I mean, even you could look throughout the entire lineup. I mean, even Montrezl Harrell had himself a game and a half tonight. So as it all ends out, the Clippers shoot 61% from the floor for the game, and your Boston Celtics are shooting 48.4. You're not going to win ball games that way. And it kind of goes back to what I was originally saying in the open, where the Celtics just couldn't find an answer tonight. They played really good defense. I heard Scal on the broadcast. I was streaming it. I'm down here in Florida tonight. Scal was even mentioning that tonight's game just seemed like no matter what they were trying to do, they were playing excellent defense for 23 out of 24 seconds out of every possession. Problem is, Clippers just ended up finding that hot hand, possession after possession, and draining. It was fun to watch. It was good basketball, I guess, to watch. But I'm going to try to bring Sam in again. I see him showing up here. One and only, Sam Sheehan from
Straight Up
Media. Hey, Sam, how are you? Sam, you there? All right, well, we are having ultimate technical difficulties tonight. No big deal, folks. We're doing a shortened show. I talked to Bobby Manning earlier today. He just wanted 30 minutes of content to get out there to talk about this game. So it's a 25-point loss by your Boston Celtics. It was not the bonus that you can take from it. I don't think there's really much you get from the last game of a four-game road trip to the West Coast, other than I didn't see any quit in the team. I saw a good defensive hustle. Some assignments blown on defense for sure. I thought they got out-physicaled. I mean, the rebound split wasn't even funny to watch. I mean, that was kind of tough. But all in all, it seemed okay. Looks like we have a caller. I'm going to try to put him on. 928. What's happening, 928?
All right. Well, Joe, I feel bad because you gave me that wonderful intro that I could hear, and then our technical difficulties went ahead. So we're gonna go ahead and bring in a co-host here, Sam Sheehan. I'm calling in from a landline, folks. This is the commitment that we at CLNS Media have to you. You know, it is 1:10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, we just watched the Celtics lay probably one of their, in a weird way, one of their biggest eggs of the season, but in another way, weirdly not as bad as the, 30-point blowout might seem. The Celtics didn't really let go of the rope there until kind of the tail end of the third. Jaylen Brown hit like three threes in a row, I think. In that third quarter, and the Celtics were sort of, hanging around this game, kind of keeping the lead, bouncing the lead between like 10 and 15 points there for a while in the third quarter. But it just seemed like any time the Celtics made a mistake, the Clippers just fantastically would capitalize on it and hit some dagger three or, there would be some sort of brutal comeuppance for each and every mistake that the Celtics made tonight. And Joe, I referenced it, Sam.
Yeah. I was listening to Scal talk, and he was saying that they're playing excellent defense 23 out of 24 seconds on the possession. It just seemed like every time they had shut down the Clippers, they'd find the open hand. And, Williams was outside his mind tonight. Lou Williams had a game for himself. Mm-hmm. He also eclipsed the all-time off-the-bench points record in the NBA. Got a bigger hand than Bron did the other night, passing MJ. So it was, to your point, it was just it didn't have that angst feel to the loss. I think half of it was, as I mentioned, tail end of a four-game road trip on the West Coast. You're never fresh as a daisy going into that. I think the other three games leading into this were emotionally draining. Between the surprise blowout of the Warriors to the nail biter against the Kings, and then you had the Lakers game. So you put those three together, the team's just mentally and physically drained by the time you hit this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure 3 days in LA didn't help.
No.
You know, sort of maintaining the focus. But, I mean, hey, as much as, you know, I think Kyle got some jokes in on the, you know, the telecast as well. But, you know, as much as, you know, you want to kind of point to that, I mean, I thought the Celtics actually looked pretty sharp for the most part. I really thought the only Celtics who really struggled badly out there tonight were Marcus Morris, who was not having a good time in pick and roll coverage out there tonight. And Daniel Tice also really, really struggled against Lou Williams. But then again, pretty much everybody struggled against Lou Williams tonight. Tonight was his night.
Yeah, Lou was
now officially the leading bench scorer in the history of the NBA. So congratulations to Lou. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Lou. But I've been saying it, I guess if you were going to pick a game for the Celtics to lose on this road trip, that would be the one. You know, the Celtics really looking like they're going to get that mid-first round pick now from the Clippers, which I don't think anybody thought had any chance of conveying, and looks like it might be in pretty much the, you know, the most optimal spot. I guess no harm, no foul. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you said it earlier. The angst was not there. Kyrie Irving.
No.
The way the team was playing just seemed so much looser. Jaylen Brown looks is night and day compared to where he was at the beginning of the year. Like, it's incredible. It's been incredible to watch him. And I think the time might have come for, Brad to start kind of getting this team ready for what the playoff rotations are going to be. And I think the time has come to, when Tatum returns, to insert Jaylen Brown full time back into the starting lineup, because he's just been on another level lately and, you know, did it again tonight in a starting role.
Are you ready to shake the lineup up enough to go back to what the five should have been to start the season, or the five were to start the season?
I don't know. I don't know if Gordon is there quite necessarily yet. I'd want to see a little bit more from Gordon. I mean, he has been, you know, improving every day. But, you know,
you're not ready to put him in the high leverage spot yet, are you?
Yeah, I'm not. And I feel like Gordon's skills are a little more redundant in a starting role, versus Jaylen's, you know what I'm saying? Jaylen kind of is the only person on the team who can do what Jaylen does. You know, he's just such a tremendous defensive, presence up and down. But when he's engaged and locked in and, you know, kind of going after the other team's ball handler, just a Marcus Smart-esque menace. And then, you know, just the physical presence inside, the attacking the rim. He has become some sort of virtuoso at these, like, 10-foot fadeaways, like, around the rim in the paint. And they're all going down now, and it's just the total opposite of where he was at the beginning of the year. So really, really encouraging stuff from Jaylen Brown. And if that's the Jaylen Brown that the Celtics get in the playoffs, things were not looking good for the Celtics there.
Absolutely. If that's the Jaylen Brown I'm going to have down the stretch and into the playoffs, then I love you to death, Marcus Morris Sr., but it's time to come off the bench again. Because that's finding your watermark for the season. And I've mentioned it on a couple of the other post games. He came out like a house on fire to start the season. Those were career-level numbers across the board for him in shooting percentage and attempts and makes. It was career-level. He's found his water level, which, don't get me wrong, one of the most deadly players coming off the bench in the East, but that's where you need him coming off of. I think it's time Brown goes back in and Morris comes out.
Yep. I think that, you know, with the amount of games they have left too, you know, you want to kind of start getting things, you know, the time for kind of salvaging wins in the regular season. I don't know. I think it's time to sort of start thinking about the playoffs, gearing up. The Celtics are, you know, still in contact. You know, Philadelphia's win over the Pacers the other night, you know, makes really good thing. Even with the Celtics losing tonight, you know, things are really grouped up there, 3 through 5, and you really want to be the team in third. And the Celtics, you know, own tiebreakers. They already own the tiebreaker over the Sixers, and, you know, there's going to be a big game against the Pacers here coming up for them to, you know, sort of figure out where they're going to be against them. But if you can, you know, end up in that third seed, and not have to play one of these other. Yeah, I mean, I know everyone wants to write the Pacers off as dead. And
oh no, I wouldn't yet.
But yeah, but like I don't know. I seems like it'd be a lot worse to face them than say Detroit, you know, in the first round. Or
absolutely. I mean, to further
yeah,
absolutely. And to further your point a little bit further, there's 14 games left, 7 on the road, 7 at home. So there's enough time to make some hay and kind of gain that third spot. But they just have to keep the momentum that they found against Golden State, the Kings, and the Lakers going. Not take really much out of this game except tighten up the defense a little bit more. Some of those runs early on inside and to the cup were just not as contested. Then they really got kind of tight midway through the second and into the third on tightening up the lane. But it, you know, they have to just find a way to get consistent possession by possession defensive stops, or at least really strong contested looks for the opponent, because that's going to be the key to them winning the games. And with like I said, with 14 left, they're a 500 team when you take a look at them on the road. So say they go 4-3 on the road and 6-1 at home. Is that enough to grab the 3 spot? I'll say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, and I really do think it really does feel like the Celtics are kind of finally sort of rounding into something at least a lot closer to the team everyone expected them to be, you know, at the beginning of the season. You know, the pick and roll defense got a little bit exposed tonight, but other than that, I mean, the first quarter, even though the Clippers hit some shots and the Celtics themselves could not buy a bucket, in the first quarter, that was some of the best defense I've seen the Celtics play in the, you know, past 2 or 3 months. But then, it just the wheels really came off there once, you know, I think once the Clippers got up to about, you know, 60% and around the fourth time an offensive rebound bounced out, or, you know, some 3 Celtics went for the same rebound and it went out to a wide open Gallinari or whatever it was that happened, you know, like just, it was one of those nights, for the Celtics. But I think if there was ever a, you know, throw it away, not really much to be learned from it game, I think this is the one, you know, like, because I don't think the Celtics, you know, played particularly badly outside of, again, that pick and roll coverage was just an absolute trash fire. But outside of that,
absolutely,
I don't know what much there is to learn, you know, from this game here tonight.
I don't think there's a ton to learn. I think what you're going to do is you're going to watch 2 different camps analyze the next week or so. And one camp is going to be the camp that kind of has the long view, has watched this NBA season and has watched the Celtics kind of peak and valley throughout, never really find a common level to rise to or sink to. They just kind of keep floating up and down. You're going to have those that understand that that's the long view, and then they're rounding into form and prepping for the playoffs and having a positive outlook on it. Then you're going to have your naysayers that are going to be turning a skeptical eye and watching the Celtics and basically trying to pick apart any little thing they can see that they don't like. And I did this on the last post game. I went back and forth with the great Nick Sesento. He was on the get rid of Kyrie, get him out of my team, get him out of my city. And I couldn't talk him off the ledge. I mean, I can't emphasize enough to the folks that listen to these post games that, bottom line is this: Kyrie Irving will sign here in July. I have no problem saying that because there are 60 million reasons to do it.
Yeah.
We can pay more than anybody else in the league. You have the better situation for him. He's talked about his long-term future. He's already pronounced to season ticket holders in a live forum his want to stay here. You got to take the guy at his word. You know, he hasn't said anything about not going. He just said, check in with me in July. So, I'm sorry, for the rest of this season and moving forward, I've always been, I'm going to continue to be Team Kyrie. I just think that he's misunderstood in this town. That's kind of my overall point there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, like, he really is, like, there is just sort of something good, Andy Kaufman-esque about, like, the way Kyrie is sort of, like, each and every day. Like, I really do think he has, like, some sort of, there is something, like, to be going on with him where it's in his mind what he's saying, like, is pretty straightforward. He's just annoyed. He's fed up with people asking him about this, and he doesn't want to talk about it. And people are reading I think reading his reading his comments as anything but thinly veiled contempt for the media asking him every 7 seconds. It's not a coincidence that this all started around the same time that the Anthony Davis rumors were heating up, and Kyrie's name was being leveraged by forces that rhyme with Mitch Null, that kind of dragged him into this by saying, through Brian Windhorst, who is sort of a mouthpiece for the LeBron camp, that Kyrie would consider going to Lakers, and that people started asking, "Oh, Kyrie, are you not going to the Celtics?" And then he started getting annoyed, saying, "Ask me in July," and saying these other things that, because he didn't want to talk about it anymore. And people are reading that as, "Oh, wait, he's leaving," and I don't.
Yeah,
I think that's
a silly way to look at it, because they're businessmen and athletes.
What's the situation?
No
he's going
business.
To?
Right.
You know?
The Lakers are like a hot mess. They're even talking, they were floating a story out yesterday and today about, do you possibly think about moving LeBron in the offseason if you're the Lakers? Oh my God. Really? It's that dysfunctional there? That's a hot pass for me if I'm Kyrie. I'm not thinking about that. I came to Boston to build a championship. I'm going to leave before I'm able to do that and go to the Knicks so I can start fresh and try all over again. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that famously good Knicks management we all know and love.
Oh, yeah, James Dolan. When a fan tells you to sell your team, you kick him out of your stadium. I love it.
That rocks. That rocks. That is such a, that is like the perfect microcosm.
It's Kardashian.
Right there, you know what I'm saying?
It's Kardashian shit. And you have a situation in Boston that's friggin' stable. You have an all-time Celtics great as your president of basketball operations. You have a coach that's dubbed one of the top 5 to 10 coaches in the NBA. So why would you leave this? You know what I mean? You have the opportunity to bring in additional pieces should you want to kind of bolster the roster and make a more deadly approach. Or you have the youth to keep. You have the perfect situation here. I don't understand why this blew up to such a large extent. But I also understand why this blew up to such a large extent. It's funny to me.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. The other sort of shadow dagger that nobody's really talking about here is that, it doesn't just have to be Anthony Davis. I mean, it's probably going to be Anthony Davis, but the Celtics have the ammunition to get anyone that Kyrie Irving wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, who else in the league can do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, the Knicks could bring in another, free agent, but then that's your team, It's like, is two superstars a winning NBA team? I don't know. Ask now, given the
That's James Harden.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, you could even look at Durant's already done this. The two superstars, and then they had Harden and Ibaka, and I guess later on Steven Adams, who are all better players than anyone the Knicks have right now, So I can't. I mean, I guess the most I could see is the Clippers. If you want to go reunify with someone, they actually have, some stuff there. They've got some picks, but it doesn't seem like that's the rumor. It seems like Kawhi Leonard is the big name attached over there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Joe. I'm not too worried. Celtics fans walk off the ledge. Kind of to tie this back into tonight's game, he looked happy. Kyrie played a great game tonight. He ended up way in the negative on the plus minus things, but I don't think any of that was his fault. Drew some charges, really, really inspired passing, which stood out to me tonight. Like really good passes, and really kept the Celtics in the game. Would make the big, FU threes to keep the Celtics in it.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
And Terry Rozier had himself a night and a half.
Yeah.
You're going to give Terry his props. He was out there for 25 minutes. He throws up 26 points. He goes 10 for 14 from the field and 6 for 9 from the three-point line. He had himself a game and a half.
I really want to, impress upon people who didn't watch this game, because, you're looking at a 30-point final score. But, it really was not it was like about as competitive of a game of, you know, a 15-point game as you could ask for through three quarters. I can't stress enough how weird this game was to watch, and it really did feel like the Celtics should be within six for most of the game, and you look up and they're down 18. But, you know, it's the opposite of most Celtics games we've seen this year, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so at this point, we're going to run the mid-roll for Boston Barber and Tattoo. Come back with Sam and I's final thoughts.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
All right, Sam, we got about 2.5 minutes left in this abbreviated version of Celtics Post Game Live here on CLNS Media. Got your final thoughts for tonight and the week ahead?
I don't know. I'm not sweating this game. I was pretty doom and gloom during that real bad stretch here coming off of All-Star break, but I feel a lot
both better.
Yeah. Whatever happened on the plane ride, you know, I can only speculate, but whatever happened with it, I don't know if Yabu hugged everyone and there's just the magic of his joy. It sort of, you know, just brought out the world to a wiser place. It really does feel like the Celtics have, and I guess I've probably said this two or three other times this year, but it really does feel like the Celtics have turned the corner a little bit here. I think that the clear move now is that, you know, the kind of Marcus Morris has sort of turned back into a pumpkin a little bit versus his scalding hot start to the year, you know, and, you know, that's sort of inverted for Jalen. I think that now the move is to return to something closer to the natural starting five, but, you know, Kyrie, Smart, Jalen, Tatum and Horford. I know that's a small lineup, but I think that that's, you know, going to give the Celtics the best chance to get that three seed here down the stretch, and, you know, really kind of salvage this season and be in pretty good, you know, shape going here into the playoffs.
Very cool. My final thought tonight, pretty straightforward. They got a couple of days off. They come back at it Thursday at the Garden, 7:30 against the Kings, who, as we all remember, Gordon Hayward almost gave the game away, but then won the game for us in the last couple of seconds. That's due up this week, and then you have Atlanta over the weekend. I also agree with Sam. I see the three seed definitely in sight. I see this team. I'll be really interested to see how they play when they get back to the house. And, hey, in this abbreviated version, Sam, pleasure doing it with you. Sorry we had the technical difficulties at the start. But for Sam Sheehan and Joe Choquette, good luck. We'll talk to you on the flip side. Peace.